Welcome, people in the room and the people online. My brain's a little bit turned to mush today because I've been alternating between rebuilding the calendar on the website and learning a whole new program and talking to AI about it all and asking it about taxonomies and coding and whatever. And then whenever my brain's turned to mush, then I thought, oh, I'll just go and dip into Vajrasattva and have a read of what Geshe Zopa was talking about and the incredible wealth and richness of information. Anyway, so then I started reading all of Geshe-la's incredible instructions for the visualizations for purification. And he kind of jumps around a bit as well. And then he references that PDF that we got given right at the beginning that comes from a different teaching that Geshe-la gave, giving different information. So then my brain turned to mush with that. Anyway, I'm going to really do my best today to just give you what I've gleaned. The main focus for tonight will be on the details of the purification, because there were two sets of purification. So to distinguish between the two, and then we can just focus on one this week and maybe focus on another one when we do our mini retreat over the long weekend. But just to set our motivation and let go of the busyness of the day and become present in the class, in our practice, let's just take a few moments acknowledging those custodians of this actual place where we are, the physical place, as part of trying to harmonize our conditions, create conducive conditions. So, acknowledging and paying respect to Jagera and Turrbal peoples who are the traditional custodians of this land, paying our respects to elders past, present, and emerging, settling our posture, in particular, making sure that your spine is straight so that all of the subtle energies can flow. Once your spine has become straight, your posture more alert. Then make sure you also relax. So, release any of the tension that you're holding in your body from the whole day. And try and strike that balance between being relaxed but still being completely present and ready to engage in the class. And then remembering our motivation, how we've got a huge incentive to purify negativities and accumulate merit because we just don't want to suffer, not even the slightest bit. And we instinctually yearn for happiness, for peace, peace of mind, for safety. And there's nothing wrong with this. We just have to look in the right place. So, setting our motivation not just for our own peace of mind, our own liberation from suffering and problems, but also so that we can help all others do the same who are suffering so much worse than we are. Also, setting our motivation to be very far-reaching. Our immediate incentives might be the immediate issues of the day, the immediate problems that we've identified we want to purify, or even sicknesses or illnesses. But this is just our initial incentive to get going. Actually, what we have to purify are not just the problems, but the causes of the problems, their imprints, all the way to the very subtle innate ignorance. And our aim is much more than just a temporary relief from problems, but completely liberating our minds from suffering and its causes and bringing all of our potential to its fruition. So, with a really vast intention that we are going to have the class and do the meditation so that we can purify all of the negativities that are there in our conventional mind and reveal that fundamentally pure nature so that we can perfectly, effortlessly help all sentient beings. So we can think, prayer to generate bodhicitta with the wish to free all beings. I shall always go for refuge to Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha until I reach full enlightenment. Inspired by wisdom and compassion, today in the Buddha's presence, I generate the mind of full awakening for the benefit of all sentient beings. As long as space remains, as long as sentient beings remain, until then, may I too remain and dispel the miseries of the world. And so with this, we can dive into tonight's topic. So in the teachings that Geshe-la gave, he mentioned two sets of ways of purifying. One is the one which is the downward purification, upward purification, and instantaneous purification. And that one is what's mentioned in this little pocket booklet, and you can do it whether you have the initiation or not, whether you're self-generating or not. With that, what you're purifying is actually the gross negativities, the subtle negativities, and the very subtle negativities. So you're purifying the gross negativities of body, speech, and mind as a job lot, then the subtle negativities, and then very subtle. And when we're doing the purification of the gross negativities, that's where you can go into a lot of detail of the visualization and the different things that you imagine that you're expelling correlate to different types of gross negativity. So I'll go into that in a moment. The other set of the purifications was to do with the focusing on the three doors, body, speech, and mind. And so that was the one where the mantras have a different color. That's where the colors are, the white, the red, and the blue. And so you do each of the three doors individually. From what I can gather, reading in Geshe-la's transcript, that's really to do with the self-generation of Vajrasattva. So you need to have the initiation to be able to do that particular visualization. So that one of the three doors with the three colors, the three different colored, the mantras that have that different tinge of the color, all of that, we're going to leave that for the weekend. Today we'll focus on the downwards, the upwards, and the instantaneous. Depending on how we're doing the purification, also Geshe-la said a little bit about where do we visualize Vajrasattva? Do we have Vajrasattva in front of us, on our crown, in our heart? And so this one I hadn't heard the detail of either, but I found it really interesting. So when we are mostly focused on purifying our conventional self, so ourselves, then we have Vajrasattva in front of us, facing us. And so the purification comes to us. And all of the nectars and lights, that's all white. It's not the colors. If you're focused mostly on others' purification, you have Vajrasattva on your crown, but facing the same way as you. You can also purify yourself whilst you're self-generated as Vajrasattva. And you can also have Vajrasattva at your heart, in your heart chakra, right there in your central channel. That one was from the FPMT commentary booklet, this one, the preliminary practice of Vajrasattva. So that was it. Instruction from Lama Zopa Rinpoche. So there's different ways to do it, but the little booklet has Vajrasattva either on the crown or in front, whatever's more comfortable. When Vajrasattva's in front of you, it's called front generation. And the self-generation, of course, you can only do if you've had the initiation. Yep. And in the practice that we'll do over the weekend, there's both front generation and self-generation. Where you see in front The position is usually at the level of the eyebrows, they say. So, because you don't want to be looking down on Vajrasattva, you want to be looking a little bit upwards so that you're uplifting your mind. And then not too far away, quite close. Really feel it very, very intimate. And also, if Vajrasattva is on the crown of your head, Vajrasattva on the lotus and moon cushion doesn't have to like be plonked heavy on your head. Can be just there's a little bit of space in between you and the lotus.
If we self-generate Vajrasattva doing purification, it doesn't make sense because Vajrasattva is already pure. So do we put is it similar to frustrations, how we put the divine pride aside?
Yeah, when you
And so we just.
self-generate as Vajrasattva and purify, what you are purifying is your ordinary continuum. So you're purifying this life, your previous lives, your future lives, your ordinary continuum. But who's purifying it is your fundamentally pure Vajrasattva mind. So you're both. And the benefit of purifying whilst imagining, self-generated as Vajrasattva is it becomes that much more powerful. So it's very similar to the instructions of releasing the divine pride and keeping the appearance. But Geshe-la went into the technicalities of it, which was your fundamental mind, the indestructible mind. Man is like the one that's manifested as the hum. And what you're purifying is your ordinary continuum and ordinary appearance. And both are existing simultaneously right now. But it was quite amazing how he went into those
I don't
details
even
of
remember
it.
that.
And I may even be able to tell you where it was. I think it's all here in this Sunday AM session. Yeah, so who we can purify, number one, of course, our ordinary self. We've got to do that. We've got to purify and accumulate merit in order to become a Buddha, to be able to help all sentient beings. So we're purifying our ordinary self. And then we go into the detail about that, the past lives continuum and the future lives continuum as well. But we can also purify family, friends, people who we know who are sick and ill, that we individually know. And we can purify the whole world. So when we're looking at the news horrified, we can purify all the beings wherever they are in all those places where there's catastrophes and wars and everything, purify the whole world. And especially the instantaneous purification with the light, that then becomes really powerful. Now, there was a couple of things that I wanted to read to you. Oh, that's right. So when we're doing the three types of purification, the downwards, upwards, and instantaneous. So the downwards one is the showering light and nectar. And I keep on thinking, when you see the film of welders welding and the sparks come out, I keep on thinking like that, just this continuous shower from Vajrasattva. And so it showers through you and it purifies your entire aggregates, your body, your mind, feelings, compositional factors. It purifies all the aggregates. And every single moment of mind. So it's the whole thing all at once. Particularly the downward purification to purify sicknesses, you imagine all of the sicknesses, and so that includes mental disturbance, physical disturbance, coming out in the form of blood and pus. And in fact, then Geshe-la said also, and feces and urine, but then he said, perhaps it's not so nice to say that, but pretty much like everything, just liquid gunk, sludge, everything. And particularly for sicknesses, you think all of that, like manifestation of sickness, just comes washing out. So in a way, the more disgusting you can imagine it, the better the purification, isn't it? So you really go to town. Then for spirit harm, and so spirit harm can be things from the environment. So when we've disturbed the environment and we get disturbances back. So for instance, COVID is like a manifestation of spirit harm of having disturbed the environment. A lot of contagious diseases like that. Also, spirit harm can be disturbances of the mind. Spirit harm, elemental harm, naga harm. Sorry, that was COVID and things like that. Or landlord harm, or praetor's harm, or even harm of a human being. So spirit harm has its own potential individual component that, I mean, there's huge amount of spirits everywhere, but why they harm us is because from our side we've got like a karmic thing going on. If we didn't have that, we wouldn't be harmed. So for that, you can often think of spirit harm as neuroses, really severe neuroses. Elemental harm, harm from the elements, so that's floods, fires, typhoons, naga harm, which often manifests as pandemics, landlord harm, when there's been clearing of the bush, when the ground's been disturbed, when they're building a new freeway. I think that just happened up north. There was something they were building a new road and it disturbed all these different layers of dirt and all of these soil-borne diseases are now becoming really prevalent up in the Northern Territory. Praetor's harm, I'm not sure what that is, and harm from the spirit of a human being. So that's if someone's got real negativity towards you, or if you've been cursed, if you've done badly by somebody, or someone is thinking extremely negative thoughts towards you, that can also, or sometimes called black magic, that can also have a effect. So all of those spirit harms, you imagine them coming out in the form of poisonous creatures. Things like scorpions, snakes, long worms, frogs, toads. So all of these kind of represent those kind of negativities, and we have an aversion to them, so they're personified like that. But also, I think like snakes and worms and stuff is pretty correlating with naga harm and stuff like yeah. So out they go. First, it showers out all of the illnesses and things in the form of the blood and the pus and the everything. And then for all the harm, the spirit harm and so forth, all of those negative creatures kind of personified. And then for what's called the ripening negative karma or the ripening of the non-virtuous actions. So all of that, the ripening karma from having killed in the past, stolen in the past, lying, sexual misconduct, all of those things. Or even just acting out of ignorance, causing physical suffering. So all of those things you imagine being expelled as dark soot, sticky soot. So Geshe-la said like not just like embers or ashes, but sticky as well, and all of that gets washed out. Dark black soot. Like if you burn a wooden fire, and then on the ceiling it's all gets all dark and sticky, and you have to scratch it off.
So you said that that's for the upward, no?
No, this is all to do with the
Downward, you
downward.
said.
Yep,
Okay.
how you're expelling it all. Yep, for the ripening
Ripening karma.
non-virtuous karma, and so the continuous showering, washing of the light. And then you can really go to town with visualizing all the different ways that it's expelled. The different type, then you can also do a laser-like kind of purification, where laser light comes to the area of the sickness. So I'm not sure where that comes in, whether that's with the showering of the downward purification, or if it comes also at the end with the instantaneous purification. It could be both, you didn't say. But if you know if there's the area where there is sickness, or if you know the particular cause of that sickness. Yeah, do the three types and then do the specific one of the laser light. That's kind of how Geshe-la presented it to us.
Yeah.
So laser light at the end. Once you've done that, then your body becomes incredibly clear, clean, blissful, purified. You can even imagine that it's hollow inside. So it's just like a really fine membrane or a film of the shape of your body. And then you have the upward purification. So then all the light and the nectar fills you up, and continuously, and just like when you continuously fill up a bottle to get rid of all the dust from inside the bottle. So after a while it becomes clean, but the water keeps bubbling up. So it never stops, it just keeps going. So that one is all of the subtle negativities. So the subtle negativities are like the imprints, the indicative conceptions. And then the instantaneous one is both the nectar flowing down, but also light, flashes of light. So light and nectar, instantaneous flashes of light in your crown chakra, and that instantaneously goes through your whole system, your subtle nervous system, all the channels and chakras. So that one dispels the darkness of ignorance, the innate ignorance. And so then in that revelation of light, that's your pure fundamental mind of Vajrasattva. He did also mention that if you find, and Ella, you might find this one because, you know, you were having headaches quite a while ago, that if you are doing the upward purification, so there's a lot of energy coming upward, you might find yourself getting a bit woozy and unmoored. And if that's the case, to do the instantaneous purification, to focus more on that with just the flashes of light. So in terms of the various types of sicknesses that we can be purifying, if you have a specific sickness, it's also good, if you can, to get it checked by a lama of what the cause is, because you might have an illness that has a Western name, but its cause might be something totally different. So you might have an illness that comes from material things, material toxins, to do with the environment. But also you can have types of illness that comes from having accidents. So Geshe-la mentioned this, and he's mentioned it in some other teachings as well. So your mind's a bit distracted, and so you're chopping the vegetables and you chop your finger. So that kind of thing, those kind of obstacles that come from accidents, being distracted, things that come from the environment being toxic.
Miffy.
So people, place, or time. So time, it could be that our whole circadian rhythm is disrupted and we don't get enough sleep, or we're sleeping at the wrong times, and so it makes it us really vulnerable for depression and anxiety. And it makes those things really entrenched. And then those things, that anxiety and mental tiredness, can also cause physical health problems as well. That's the subtle. So we go gross is the downward.
So that's the visualization.
As the visualization, that's upward. The upward is all the dust floating to the top, okay. Or oil,
okay.
Floating to the top. So one way they say is it's like oil naturally floats to the top of the nectar. So it's got nowhere to go. It has to go out. But the other one is the dust, like in a in a jar or a bottle when you want to get it out and you can't get the dishwasher in there, just running the water through, it stirs it all up so much that it just has to go out. The water just gets more and more, you know, that gets more and more diluted until there's none there. So either of those visualizations, ways to deal with it. If you have a physical symptom arising, like pain in the back or a migraine, I would think there's some synchronicity going on. So to work with it and to purify it. And so to notice where it comes up in terms of those three purifications might help. And to keep doing the purification until something shifts. So it might be layers of things. It might be an immediate thing that's happening, but you may also be going down, like, karmically, forensically down into the... Oh, whether you take Panadol, I'm a great fan of Panadol. It really depends what you want to do. Yeah, so, I mean, how you deal with pain will also depend on how much resources you have at the time. So if you're really depleted, that's right. It's too much to push on through. If that means you can't focus on the practice, that's no good. So Geshe-la did say part of the things, especially when doing retreat, is to don't forget you have a conventional body. Like, this is really important. You have to look after your conventional body and do what's necessary and eat well and have enough rest and all those kinds of things. So it's contextual. So if you're really run down and you're getting all these headaches and things, yeah, take a Panadol for sure, because it'll help you do the practice. If you've got a bit of reserves and some kind of physical pain comes up, you've got enough reserves to have it as an indicator what's going on. And it's good to know. It's good to know these indicators. So a lot of the time I don't like, for instance, I don't like taking sleeping tablets. I'd rather not sleep for days on end, because I know it's indicating to me something's going on and I want to know what's going on more than I want to sleep. But it's going to depend on you and how much reserves you have.
She asked, in my lifetime, I have committed all sorts of negative actions. Should I be specific with what bothers me or makes me feel guilty? Or is it better to just do global thoughts?
Both. We've got to do both. So this is my personal opinion, I suppose, that it's important to have specific things included, because you have the emotional feeling about it. You have that nagging feeling and that shame and that regret, because it's a specific thing that you've done. Whereas if you go, oh yeah, all the times that I've killed somebody, it's like there's not much import there if you haven't done it in this life, is there? It's kind of a bit blah, blah, blah. So wherever possible, have a specific instance that you can name. And, you know, you've done them. You're feeling bad about them. So, yeah, you definitely have to think of them. But don't stop there. Then you've got to include everything else. So if you've just had a terrible argument with your boss and you said some things you wish you didn't say, and that's been playing on you, and you feel you've let yourself and your guru and Vajrasattva down, then, yes, think of that instance. And then you think every time you've ever had an argument with anybody, all the way down to throwing a tantrum when you were 2 years old, you know, all the way to kicking your mother's stomach when you're in the womb, and then back into the past lives, every other instance. And so then you do the job lot to do with harsh speech, this life and all previous lives. But the more instances you can think of, the more emotional oomph it has. So it's important to do that. But, of course, what happens is, because we have specific instances that we're used to feeling bad about, when we're purified, we forget, on one hand, we forget to feel different, don't we? We forget to think, oh, I have purified that now. Vajrasattva's even said it's been purified. We go, oh, no, but I haven't. Never mind. So we've got to bring some awareness to that sensation of being purified and be able to release the habit of hanging on to those things and the habit of guilt. So you might even have to purify guilt as an extra thing as well, because it's a habit, it's a mental thing.
Kerry asks, how do you purify bad sleep habits? You were talking a little bit about this.
Well, that's kind of like an illness or a sickness. So the bad sleep habits isn't so much the problem, it's if it debilitates us. So if you're naturally a morning person and you have to work night shifts, you're really going to suffer. And so you're going to get some kind of illnesses or disturbances from that. So that's what you purify. If you're a night owl and you have to get up really, really early and you stay up really late, like me, also you're going to have some trouble. So you might just have to purify sleepiness and dullness and the attachment to just like, oh, you know.
Ava had another question as well. She said she was really focusing on purifying downwards, but then she got the flu. And cough, cough, out it comes. So has she been overdoing the downward cleansing?
No, it's a good sign. It's always a good sign. As well, we cough up the phlegm, but you can imagine also expelling all the phlegm. That's a downwards purification for sure. And so maybe lots of that has to happen too. And like we were talking about last time, you just purify until you feel a difference. And if it's happening physically, fantastic. That means that karma's over.
last question from Kerry from online. You asked the very first week and what stood out. And for her, it was the use of Dorji and Bell and the hand mudras. She would like to ask if we can slowly learn to practice a couple of those per fortnight. But that's, she understands we're slowly getting there.
Yeah, so the Dorji and Bell we're going to look at in the mini retreats, because we'll do a different sadhana where we actually use Dorji and Bell, but we don't in this pocket booklet. And so I didn't want to kind of mix up the two. But, yes, we will most certainly, we'll start the retreat with some mudras for sure. And as for how to actually practice using Dorji and Bell to offer music or to meditate on emptiness, that's going to be a bit tricky online. That's what we've been doing in person at pujas and things, but we will slowly go through each of those. So there was just one thing that I wanted to read before we do our little meditation. This is from Geshe-la about visualizing Vajrasattva. So if you visualize yourself as Vajrasattva and you do the purification for yourself, he says, I was pointing out like yesterday that after you become Vajrasattva, so you've done the self-generation in the sadhana and so on, there is nothing to purify because you're the real Vajrasattva through that process. So what you're purifying is the relative person. You have the ultimate person and the relative person. The ultimate person is a Vajrasattva. And I liked how he said it, a Vajrasattva.
And you're a Vajrasattva.
You're a Vajrasattva. And so from the very beginning, we are Vajrasattva. That's that fundamentally pure mind. But the relative person at that very moment, you know, there's no creation, new negative creation of karma, because you are Vajrasattva. You're a complete pure being. But you have the relative continuum of the past, so your past relative self, even to just before the initiation. So we're an ordinary person. We're subjected to always committing karma. The moment we open our mouth, we create karma. And that's been carrying on since beginningless lifetimes. So that's what needs to be purified, the relative person. So that's what we call purification of your own negative karma, even after becoming Vajrasattva. So I really liked how technical details that Geshe-la gave us. I just thought they really explained nicely. So I also wanted to add that I did just read in the transcripts from Geshe-la that if we're doing the Vajrasattva Nongdros, if we can, because he really wanted us to blitz the practice at the beginning, to do a session in the morning and and also in the evening. So we've been talking about this over various Friday nights and kind of focusing on the evening one, because that way we purify everything that's happened during the day and we go to sleep. If we've had the initiation, we've arisen as Vajrasattva with a light body, and that's how we go to sleep, in the clear light. But of course, the purpose for doing the sadhana, a little pocket practice, whatever kind of Vajrasattva practice in the morning is, if we've had the Vajrasattva initiation, then we get up, we do the practice, and we go through the day really aware that we're Vajrasattva. So that's going to save us from creating any new negativities. So they have a different kind of purpose to them. There's minimal negative karma that we're going to make while we're asleep. But in terms of really, if you've had the initiation, really strongly identifying, remembering who we are, we're a Vajrasattva, and then going through the day like that. If you're doing the Nongdros and you haven't had the initiation, still do this pocket practice. Vajrasattva dissolves into you. You become one with Vajrasattva, and again, you go out and you have your day with that attitude. How many times in the morning? Minimum 21. Do the same as the nighttime. Do the minimum, because that also means if something disastrous happens, you've done your 21. Okay, so it's like we're having some kind of doubling up cautions here, which is good for us. If you could do more, you could probably, I mean, with this downward purification, it seems like there's a lot to do, doesn't it? Like, is it all done with seven mantras? No way. Well, at least not for me. So if you've got the leisure to spend some more time than just seven mantras on those purifications, then go for it. Can you recite 21 times without doing the visualization? Ruby, what kind of benefit do you think that would bring? I think you know the answer. Well, we are doing Nongdros, okay? So we do want to bookend it with setting our motivation, refuge bodhicitta, and we do want to dedicate it. We really want to. The rest of the day, just say mantras whenever you can. But because we're accumulating our recitations and we're doing the Nongdros, it's important to have it bookended.
We were saying Geshe Zolpa was so wonderful with details. One of the ones that stuck in my mind was when he said, when you visualize, when you're purifying for yourself, you have Vajrasattva in front, but when you're purifying for others, you have him on top of your head.
I thought
it was just a lovely detail. And I thought, there you go. That's why how sometimes it's in front and he's in behind. So
anyway, I know, at first I didn't get it, but then I thought, oh yeah, of course, because on top of your head, pointing outwards like you.
Yeah.
And then when we actually do the whole sadhana with self-generation and we become Vajrasattva, then it just makes more sense. Then we actually do the purification for all the sentient beings as Vajrasattva.
It was a very lovely detail. You could tell that's come from his practice. So
yes, it has. Okay, everyone, have a wonderful weekend. You lovely bunch of Vajrasattvas. What's the collective noun of Vajrasattva?
A purification of
Vajrasattva. A purification? A Dharmakaya of Vajrasattvas.